Amen. So we're continuing our series on, in particular, the will of God. And in the will of God, in order to understand the will of God, we need to understand the character of God. Absolutely. And in understanding the character of God, we need to understand the holiness of God, the holiness of his character. And so that's where we are today. And in understanding that, we need to understand just how jealous he is of his holiness being displayed. Amen. Whether he is sanctified by us through a godly living, or he sanctifies himself through judgment against sin, he will be glorified. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. For our foundation text again, let's go back to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning with the first verse. And again, I'm reading again from the English Standard Version. Now, verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized, profane, and what was the other word we had?
Strange.
Strange. Thank you. Unauthorized, profane, and strange fire to the Lord. And as we can see here, that this was something that he did not authorize. He did not, as the end of that verse says, for the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord, not from the altar, and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said: among those who come near me, who are near me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified. Aaron held his peace. I will be. Lord, help us to shake in our boots when we hear this. Because we are those who come near him. If you think about it, we're his children. Matter of fact, we're the only ones that's been authorized to come near him. And Lord, help us to come near you with a new profound reverence of your majestic holiness and not come before you any old kind of way. I used to tell Word of Lifers in the early years, and maybe once in a while, even in the later years, is that if you know your life not right and you just didn't sit down during praise and worship, you don't need to, we're not, you're praising God amongst the people of God. Your focus is on God. Your reverence is toward God. Your worship is toward God. Your honor is toward God. Your songs are toward God. You're just in the presence of people. And he's saying, if you're coming near me, then you have to sanctify me. Set me apart. And before all the people, I will be glorified. That's what Moses told his brother. Aaron held his peace. I want to kind of look at verse 2 again. Because the word that some of the interpreters use, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. But our understanding of consume would be that they were like burnt up, basically ashes, or they were completely engulfed and just weren't there anymore. Yet we read in verses 4 and 5 that they were carried out, their bodies were carried out, and they were carried out in their outer garments. So not even their outer garments were damaged. So consumed, because the word can be, And that's one thing, for those of you who are going to study on that next level, when you go to look up some of these words in the original language, sometimes you'll see a range of meanings. And you have to, as best as you and the Holy Ghost, pick out the closest meaning in the context. Because the word overwhelmingly means to, like, to eat, you know, to devour that way. Well, you know, in this context, that doesn't fit. It also means to destroy. So you can destroy something in a sense, like destroy the life of when the heart stops beating, they're no longer alive, but still not necessarily consume, get the idea of consumption. So I think I would probably like the word destroyed a little bit better than consumed, to give the idea that their life here on earth was ended, but the physical body was still intact, and even their clothes. And so we talked about that. And so I just wanted to kind of make mention of that. Look at verse 3 again. Moses said to Aaron, we said in verse 2, we see that in the middle of verse 2, after verse 2, Aaron had to say something to his brother, and I'm quite sure there was a shock there, an absolute shock and dismay. And Moses, seeing his brother in disarray, I love this. He didn't try to just console him for the sake of just telling him what he needed to hear, maybe to kind of calm his heart down for a few minutes. That's why we need to just let the Lord pick who is to be in our lives. Amen. That's crucial. I remember the Lord was speaking to me about that, like over the last couple of days. It's a blessing when He chooses. Basically, in Sister Rolanda and I lives, basically the Lord has handpicked everybody that's in there. Because if it's family, he knew the family was going to be around. And if there's any friends, He's handpicked them. Those days are gone. That's junior high. Trying to be popular, be cool with everybody. Come on, this is not at middle school. Those days are long gone. We understand people got all kind of agenda. So I thank God. I mean, look at the mercy of God, the grace of God. God handpicks Aaron's brother, Moses, a mighty man of God who you know was feeling some type of way and hurt that his brother was all messed up, and those his nephews suddenly died after going through this. If you read through all of chapter 8 and all of chapter 9, all of that was to get him consecrated and ordained for this new priestly office. Right. And he sees his nephews, Aaron's sons, drop dead suddenly. And he know that his brother is disquieted in spirit. Right. It's a lesson for all of us, because that's family. Look at someone close to you. This is a lesson for all of us. When they come and they're all broken down, you can't just say things like, well, God didn't have nothing to do with this. We got to stop saying that. Because we just want to make sure that God don't get blamed, that God continues to look good. We don't need to help God. We're not PR people for God. God don't need to run us public relations. We're not spin doctors as they have over in Washington, D.C. There are people who are hired, they call them spin doctors, just to spin it so that you come out looking the best. God don't need spin doctors. He's God all by himself, and he needs nobody's help being God. Amen. What we must do is what Moses did. He gave him the word of God, what thus saith the Lord. Read the commentary again. Moses seeks to quiet the heart of his brother Aaron by telling him this is that which the Lord hath spoken. He told him what God has to say. Look at verse 3 again. And what did the Lord say in the middle of verse 3 again? He said, by those who come near me, by those who come near me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified. I will be. Did the priests come near him? Sure. And were they before all the people? Yes, because the ceremony just started in 8. Matter of fact, go back to 8, chapter 8. I know this is all rerun, but we can hear it 100 times. I offer no apologies for repeating. Mm-hmm. Chapter 8. And look at verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Isn't that something that it goes out the way to say it, that I want you to bring them, and then it tells you he did what he did, and it says, and all the congregation was there. Setting the table completely. There were thousands there. Nadab and Abihu didn't offer this strange, profane, unauthorized fire kind of sort of in the back room. This was done in front of, this would be what we would say, church, during worship. So if you go back to chapter 10 and verse 3, he says, and before all the people, because that's what was happening. He was profaned. They approached him in a profane way before all the people. And God said, nope, it's not going to happen. You will not profane my name before all my people like that. I'm going to protect and vindicate my holiness, and I'm going to take your lives before all the people. That's by design. If you think about when God does these things, Ananias and Sapphira at church, offering worship through their giving. They lied at church before the congregation, before the newly formed church that was forming there in Jerusalem, and before all the people. Ananias and Sapphira both died. And the word of God says, and great fear came upon all the folks. That's exactly because I, before all the people, I will be honored. And you know what? Because we don't get blew out like this, and because we don't drop dead and see this happen, like we think we're okay. That's the lie. Yeah. That's the deception. Yeah. I mean, we may even go so far as to think, well, maybe I'm holier than Nadab and Abihu. Well, I would never do that, you know. And so far, I wouldn't have lied. Yeah, but what other things have you done that have profaned his name? We can never toot our own horn, as they say. It's grace and mercy that we're still alive. I'm talking about as Christians. I'm not talking about as sinners. We could have been killed 100 times as sinners. But I'm talking about since we've come to him. Yes. How much grace and mercy has he had on us?
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, help us to get this. That's what all the rams and the goats and the blood, you know, look at verse 14 of chapter 8, verse 14, just kind of show you some of look at verse 10, just some of the ceremony. Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, consecrated them, and he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times, right, perfection, and anointed the altar with all its utensils and basins and its stand to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and on him to consecrate him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with coats and tied sashes around their waist and bound caps on them as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 4, then he brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering. So as in a symbolic way, transfer the sin onto that bull, just like our sins were laid on Jesus. This is all symbolic. And he killed it, like Jesus was killed for our sins. And Moses took the blood and with his finger put it on the horns of the altar around it and purified the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. And he took all the fat that was on it and on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver. I mean, you put the kidneys. I mean, they got the guts going, the insides going. And they burned that on the altar. I mean, all of this is going on. You go through all of this. And I just read like six verses, maybe seven, from 10 to verse 17. This goes on and on. You're going to chapter 9, on and on. You get to chapter 10. The first thing they do, after all of that, the anointing oil, bloodshed, purification, all for God's glory. And you come up with the bright idea. Some theologians said they came up with the bright because they thought they were Ford Motor Company. They thought they had a better idea. Well, y'all know that's what's going on now. That's what worship. Let's make it more exciting. Let's make it more palatable. Worship is not for us. That's what we're missing in. He gave us the instruction, prescription, direction on how to worship him. We're going to worship him in spirit and in truth based on his word. It's not about how the music sound. It's about how we're living. Worship starts with a lifestyle. That's where it starts. To be honest with you, that's where it ends too. Because it's from our hearts that we are to give worship and praise God. It's not about emotionalism. Because you can be emotional and even feel good in the natural, and none of that pleases God. Some have said the loudest, most attended worship service in the history of the Bible. So loud that those who were afar off and heard the worship, they thought it was in the heat of battle. It was so loud and raucous. But if you were on a boom, B-O, maybe it's B-O-M, I don't know, and a camera, the boom or boom, I don't know, whatever, and the camera pans in and they come in closer, you'd have seen that they were worshiping the golden calf. It was idol worship. Had attracted a massive crowd, massive noise. It was all for an idol god. It was nothing. How many times are there churches throughout the world that think they're doing something because there's so much emotion and there's a lot of people and there's music and so forth, and God he's turned his back on it? We don't get to prescribe worship our way. There's all kind of quote-unquote worship that's not even biblical. The theology behind it is not right. And it's the same concept. When Nadab and Abihu came before the Lord with strange and profane and unauthorized fire, that's the same thing as folks coming in with all kind of music and dancing and all this kind of thing that's not spiritual. Just because it's done in the church does not mean that God is accepting it. Does that make sense? And I don't care how famous somebody is or how many albums and Grammys they won, accolades they received, that does not make it. I'll take This, I'll take our praise and worship leader over anybody else in the world because she knows the Lord. A pray, the qualification of a praise and worship leader is they must first know the Lord. When I say know, I mean know means to love. Love means to obey. So you have a lifestyle of living for the Lord. Now we've seen some beautiful folks, beautiful singers, wonderful voices that sing. But do they know the Lord? It's not about style to try to please man. See, that's approaching him in a profane way. Profanity, unfortunately, we just look at that as just word. We use the word profanity, comes from the word profane, meaning it is not holy. It is unholy. It is unrighteous. It is ungodly. It is not sanctified. It is not hallowed. It's profane. And what Nadab and Abihu did was, for use the phrase, commit profanity before the Lord, and he killed them for it. Because you come before me, I'm going to be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified. Meaning there's a specific way we are to praise. And I like to think at Word of Life, we're knowing that. I like to think that. The songs are vetted for the most part. And we're making sure that they line up with the Word of God, that they do praise him. The beats are kind of bland on purpose because we can get into the rhythm so and not even focus in on what we're singing. Because we kind of just like the groove. Because, you know, music is everywhere. I mean, we grew up on music. We love music, any kind of music, just as long as it's groovy. I just love music. I love bass. I love instruments. I mean, just, you know, I love all that, you know. And so you have to most of them are probably really into music. I mean, I grew up at the height of Motown. Right. Height of it. So we were just... And Auntie Allie and the family introduced me to the legends from over in Europe, the Beatles. Love their music. Why not? I love all kind of, I love music. Any kind of music. I really did. So when you come into the Word of God, you have to kind of unlearn that. It's not the groovy beat. It's not, because see, all secular music is designed to the secular aspect, the human, the emotional aspect of our, it's designed for that. To make you feel good, to grab a beat, that sort of thing. Spiritual is spirit, it bypasses all of this. That's why sometimes if you're not flowing in the Holy Ghost, you're not living, you haven't had a good week of walking with the Lord, and you kind of have maybe committed sin that you left unchecked, and you come in praise and worship, first thing you think, that's white boy music. That's lame. I'm not trying to hear that. Because you're thinking with the ears and the head and not the heart. Your spirit man is not in the ascendancy. Remember, you are a spirit being first when you're born again. When you are not born again, your spirit is dead. So all of the music that belongs to the Lord does not appeal to you, at least especially not in the spiritual sense. Now, every once in a while, you'll have song like Commodore Jesus' Love that hit the charts. Or Walter Hawkins' Oh Happy Day in his late 60s, that hit the charts, went to number one in certain things. You'll have certain songs that'll cross over, but and the secular world will like the song. But they're not. It's because they got a cool beat or they did something to them, but it's not spiritual. We gotta realize they that worship him must worship him. Spirit. Say it again. In
spirit.
And in
truth.
In spirit. And one more time. In spirit and in truth. Spirit. Not flesh. Secular music appeals to the flesh. Real genuine worship music is coming from our spirits. That's why no matter how great secular singers can sing, they're not singing to God.
They can't. Their spirits are dead. No matter how wonderful, and the riffs and runs and the interpretations that they do, just wonderful. But all that is just external, just fleshly. That's why somebody can come up here, not know the Lord at all, and sing Sister Rolanda under the table. And we sitting there like statues, like, wonder when they gonna get through. For his eye is on the sparrow. Yep, you just trying to show out. This is not American Idol. Simon Cowell is not in the audience. Nobody gonna come out and give you a golden ticket to Hollywood. This is not Showtime. Where's God looking?
The heart.
Your worship comes from the heart. And if I can add to this here, you can best believe that Nadab and Abihu profaned him first. Where? Where? In the heart. In the heart. And when somebody just did all of a sudden, they got, I think we can do this. Probably not a big deal. You know, four wasn't invented. They said, man, let's do like four. We got a better idea. And before all the people, they profaned the name of God. And when they did, God said, nope, that's not going to happen. Not amongst my people. We just read just some in chapter 8. And you go through all of that in chapter 9. All of the other things that were going on. The Lord accepts Aaron's sin offering on the 8th day. And so look at chapter 9. All the way through that. In verse 22 of chapter 9. Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people. Blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering. And the burnt offering. And the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people, still there. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and did what? Fell on their faces, because that fire was a fire of mercy. I'll accept. And for a year, they did these offerings. Some of them were yearly. The Lord God, when that fire came out and consumed the offering, that was the Lord accepting their worship, their sacrifices. And then moments later, the fire that came down and consumed the sacrifices, three verses later, comes down and consumes the sacrificers. One was a fire of mercy. The second was a fire of what?
Wrath.
Judgment. Judgment. I'll not be played with. I will not be played with. And he said, if you come near me, I will be glorified. I will be treated as holy. Remember, we talked about that he will be sanctified. He is to be set apart. And Lord, help us to really do that, to set you apart in our hearts. So that when we set us apart, meaning when we start thinking things, we're like, you know what? The Lord is hearing me. I'm going to leave. I don't want him to even be near these thoughts. I hope it'll help clean up your thought life and clear that up. Which is going to fix what you say, because out of that come from here. And how you act. Then you'll be separating and sanctifying the Lord where? In your heart, through your lifestyle. What's in the heart is eventually going to show in your life. Jesus had an abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And James says, if you control the mouth, you control the body. So if you are sanctifying the Lord in your heart, for real, then it's going to show in your thoughts, your word, and your deeds. I will be sanctified. Anybody remember the Greek word for sanctified?
hallowed. Hallowed. Sanctified. Same word. All are the same. Hebrew, sanctified. Greek, hallowed. First petition, again, and for the Lord's Prayer, is hallowed be thy name. The first thing after addressing God the Father is, may your name be hallowed. May it be treated. Let's go over what that means again. Hallowed be your name means, he's saying that I will be sanctified in all things that concern my worship. I will be sanctified in everything that concerns my worship. For example, that is to say, Lord, let your name appear to be holy. When it says, hallowed be your name, we're saying, Lord, let your name appear before all to be holy. God is saying here, I will be sanctified. That is, I will have my name appear to be holy. I will be made known unto my people and to all the world that I am a holy God. That fits because he created the seraphim just to say, holy, holy, holy to Lord God Almighty. And we gotta continue to remove ourselves out of our flesh because we're like, man, because it sounds like ego tripping. You want to just create, just to call himself holy? What kind of a mess is that? When you think with your natural mind, you're not going to ever get this. If he honors his, what we ought to be thinking is, if he honors his holiness that much, help me to get there. Because you know what you're doing. My little finite pea brain thoughts, sin sick, sin laden, going to always get it wrong. I'm just going to follow your lead. You made two to say holy, 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 and them 420 elders, holy, 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 night and day, cease not day and night to say, then you know what? I need to find out what's up with this holiness then. That ought to be our attitude. Does that make sense, y'all? Because that's what's happening with me. I need to figure out, okay, what's going on? This is very important to him. And it's very important in the sense that Jesus says the first petition out of all the petitions is, let your name be hallowed. Let it be known to all the world that he's holy. That's the meaning of I will be sanctified. I will be known to all the world that I am a holy God. He said, I will have my people to humble and carry themselves so as to hold forth their acknowledgement of my holiness. To humble and carry this, meaning live out your lifestyle so as to acknowledge that God is holy. So as by their carriage meaning the carrying out of their lifestyle, I may appear to be a holy God. How are we going to show the world that God is holy? First and foremost, word of life? Through our living. Through our living. We're going to went over that. We're going to close. Remember after this we said a warning? Remember the warning? Mm-hmm. She's like, I will be sanctified by them. Or otherwise, this is quoting Jeremiah Burroughs from the book Gospel Worship. I will be sanctified by them. Or otherwise, if they shall not in an active way sanctify my name, that is, if they shall not humble themselves so as to hold forth the glory of my holiness, comma, then I will be sanctified upon them. I will humble and carry myself toward them so as by my actions upon them, I will make it appear what a holy God I am. And I have in my notes, that's exactly what happened to Nadab and Abihu. That's exactly what happened to Korah. That's exactly what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. That's exactly what happened to Uzzah. they didn't do what God told them. And so they did not, in an active way, sanctify his name. Then he sanctified it up on them. So as we close, God has sanctified two ways. First way, through our lifestyle, through our living. Living out God's holiness, we said, begins where? In our hearts, right? 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, regard Christ as the Lord as holy. Starts there. Jesus' whole sermon. Start heart. Pharisees, you're external. You're happy with external works. I'm telling you, your heart is black, basically, full of sin. You sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Everything you do externally, ask the Holy Ghost, is this coming from my heart? Yeah. Now, why am I doing this at this time? Am I trying to do this to be seen by others, to get the woo-woo and the ooh-ooh? Am I living for the applause? Am I living for the what? Well done. The applause comes from me. The well done comes from your Heavenly Father. That's what you got to ask yourself. Why are you doing what you're doing? 1 Peter 3:15 again. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy. Where? In your hearts regard him as holy. Commentator says, sanctify God in our hearts. Saints sanctify God in their hearts when they fear God as a holy God and reverence him and love him as a holy God. Uh-oh, when you love him, what automatically are you saying? You're obeying him. You fear him, you revere him, and you love him as a holy God, and so sanctify him in their lives. When their lives do hold forth the glory of God's holiness, then God is sanctified. Do you understand that? When you live out a life that's in line with the word of God, that's where God is hallowed. Do we understand that? So we can make this real simple. Now, I could have said that 2 months ago. But you know what? We need to hear it and 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 hear it. So the first way he's sanctified is through our lifestyle. What's the second way? Right, remember?
Through our heart.
No, not the first one. All that's first way. So that's good. I'm glad I asked it. All that's the first way. He's through our living, which starts in the heart. Okay, the second way is through his judgment of sin. Remember the first way, if you remember the warning was, this. I will be sanctified by them. Or otherwise, if they shall not in an active way sanctify my name, that is, they shall not humble themselves so as to hold forth the glory of my holiness, then I will be sanctified upon them. I will humble and carry myself toward them so as by my actions upon them, I will make it appear what a holy God I am. And so that second way is that if we do not live out this life from our hearts, then God sanctifies himself, that is, in ways of judgment upon those that do not, in ways of holiness, sanctify his name. That's why we got to keep going over it. The second way is God actively having his name sanctified through the judgment of sin. Does that make sense? We're going to stop there. We'll pick up with that on Sunday, Lord's willing. The first way is us living out our lives from the root of our hearts. The second way is God actively judging sin so as to vindicate and protect his holiness. Amen? Amen. 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 I don't know if those are in the notes yet. I'm not sure. Those two ways are in the notes yet? The first way and the second way we just went over. I wonder if they're in the notes yet. About how God...
I mean, yeah, but I understood it differently.
Okay.
I mean, I had listed first and second. Heart and...
Okay, right. Yeah, yeah, so that's one. That's good, that's good. So that'd be one. Because the lifestyle has to always be from the heart. Yeah. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has to be from the heart. And so, if you look at Uzzah, Korah, Nadab and Abihu, Ananias and Sapphira, all have committed sin. Right? And what God did, he judged that sin. When he judges that sin, he's sanctifying himself. Remember the word we use? We'll go back to it on Sunday. He vindicated his holiness. He protected it. He
he got some of those other words. You know, he honored it, he uplifted it, he confirmed it. Because I'm holy, I got to do this. I have to. We talked about that. We talked about that many times, Phil and I. He has to do that. That's what the people don't. My God is a God of love. People love to say that. So therefore, God, when he can't be a God of wrath, he can't have hell. Don't you understand that the love he has is for good? He don't love sin. So he can't. If he's love, how can he not be a God of wrath? He can't. If he's holy. But let me tell you something else on our fifth closing. I want y'all to realize that a lot of people who are so-called Christians, y'all hear me, who don't believe that God is holy. Now, if you ask them outright, they would. They'll tell you yes. But we're teaching you how to probe into that, right? How to ask questions. You ask questions, you find out, oh, then you don't believe he's holy then. Because he can't, because ask them, will God send people to hell? I don't know, he's too much love. You follow what I'm saying? Then okay, then you don't believe he's holy. Did you understand that right there? Just that one question right there. There are people believe that God will send people to hell. My God is a God of love. There's people, that's why people don't believe in predestination. But God would never pre-pick somebody and pass over others. That's that would be sovereign. If you ask the first, is he holy, is he sovereign? Yes. When you ask questions about predestination and judgment and wrath, you find they don't believe in those two, then he can't be holy, he can't be sovereign. I'm not kind of shocked when I tell you that God is not holy. That is so true. Because they don't like those other words. Remember, we talked about the smorgasbord. Give me the love. Give me the kindness. I'm going to skip over the wrath. I'm going to skip over the holiness. I'm going to skip over the sovereignty. And so when you walk away with your plate, it's not the God of the Bible. And really, no God at all. Because he's the only true God. Amen? Father God, thank you for helping us to understand your holiness a little bit more tonight. And how serious this is. Father, this is the key to growth and unity in your entire body throughout the world. This is it. This is transformational. We're so honored that you stopped here at this little church in Garden City, Michigan, and landed right here and say, hey, I want y'all to get this. I am holy. And as a result of me being holy, you belong to me. Be ye also holy because I am holy. And Father, this will we do with the help of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.